Welcome to the What's So Smart podcast, powered by the Huntsville-Madison County Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Clark Dunn. Huntsville, Alabama is known as a smart place, but really, what's so smart about it? In this podcast, we will talk to the leaders of Huntsville's economic and cultural development to answer that question. From rockets to genomics, from cyber to music, What's So Smart will explore the visionary and data-driven initiatives that make Huntsville so smart. Stay connected with us on all your social media platforms at A Smart Place. You can watch the full conversations on our YouTube channel at Huntsville, Alabama, USA, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this episode of the What's So Smart podcast. Welcome to the What's So Smart podcast. I'm your host, Clark Dunn. Today, I have the opportunity to sit down with Kelvin Wooten, a local Grammy-winning producer here in Huntsville, Alabama, to learn a little bit more about what makes Huntsville so smart. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Clark. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So I know that you've called Huntsville home for quite a long time, but you're not originally from Huntsville. Yeah. Talk a little bit about your journey to get here.
So I got here in Huntsville in 1980. My dad started working for Marshall Space Flight Center.
Okay.
NASA, yeah, for those that don't know. We all came from Thomasville, Georgia. I say Thomasville because we're actually in a small stoplight town that no one would probably know of, but Thomasville, Georgia is the area. That's the hospital I was born in.
Okay.
My dad was, he taught math at a community college down there and got the job to come to NASA. Got a good recommendation, and we've been here since the 80s. So I really had no choice to be in Huntsville.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about, growing up here in Huntsville. Huntsville's completely changed over the last few years, and you've been able to be a part of that and see that growth. What was it like growing up here in Huntsville, and did you always think you were going to call Huntsville home?
Well, to your point, like a map that you would have had in 1980 will not work today. Huntsville's grown so much, and that's what I love. I love about being here, just seeing, it's like watching something just grow in front of you. Like I can literally drive down University Drive or just any street in Huntsville, and if I'm gone for a month and come back, I was like, whoa, what's that? It's like, it used to be sunlight coming through here. It's all shady right here. It's a new building right here. So and I love it. I think for Huntsville, it's just, it's great. It's unlike any other city in the state of Alabama.
Yeah. And so you grew up here in Huntsville. How did you what was your sort of your first introduction into producing and doing what you would do today as like your career?
Yeah. So music was always a part of my life, even before I accepted it as a career. My mom, took me to church a lot. A lot. When I mean a lot, I can remember going to church on Wednesday night. I remember going to church on Friday. I remember going to church twice on Sunday. And it was crazy for me as a kid growing up seeing that. And I'm an only child too. I have any brothers and sisters. Mm. My mom and dad aren't musicians. But just being in church, that was one of the things that I gravitated towards most. It's just musically, just trying to dissect and hear all the things that were going on musically. So that was my beginning and introduction to music. Okay. My dad was a DJ when he was in college. He went to Fort Valley State, and he was a DJ in college. So he had a record collection too. So I'm hearing this music at church, very soulful gospel music, but all at the same time, I'm seeing record collections of Grover Washington and, the Jazz Crusaders and, he listened to a lot of funk jazz, but also a lot of stuff like Junior Walker and the All-Stars. Mm. Just a lot of great music, I said, my dad has a lot of great taste in music. And so that duality, when I got in high school, I met my high school band director. He was also my piano teacher, James Reginald Jackson. And that's when the light bulb clicked on. I love music, I was always creative in nature in terms of like fashion or drawing and art to some degree. But when I got in music, it just the passion turned up a notch in terms of, I said, okay, this is the vehicle that I'm going to drive to impact the world. Or as a kid, you're not thinking about impacting the world. You just think about having fun.
Yeah. But
those were my toys then, keyboards and synthesizers, like G.I. Joe's and He-Man and all that kind of stuff I put to the side. It's like it was more keyboards and synthesizers and tape recorders and things of that nature. So, yeah.
So as you get involved in that in high school, what did sort of the career path as you get out of high school, go into college, what did that look like for you?
So out of I was a great high school student, but going into college, I realized it took me probably 5 or 6. I'm padding that. Let's just say 8. Let's just go with 8.
Okay.
It took me about 8 years to realize that college wasn't for me. You know, yeah. I was there. You know, I was showing up at class, but I was like, boy, it's like this needle ain't really moving in terms of academia, but in terms of my music and my career, I was doing things like working with like celebrity groups. Like I was working with Tony in college, like, and that may be an old school group to some people, but Raphael Sadiq was the lead singer of that group. He is also, you know, he produced Cuff It for Beyonce and these last two country songs that Beyonce did. He had a hand in production. Let's just give some sort of context. But I was doing that stuff in college. I met him hanging out with skipping class with a musician that I met from church, Spanky Alford. And he introduced me to all those guys. So I was go out on the West Coast. While I should be in class, I was going to the West Coast doing sessions and hanging out, writing, playing keyboards, playing bass guitar and stuff. And I just knew in college, you know, I was like, this is what I really want to do. I'm sticking to this, you know, mainly because my mom, you know, she worked for Boeing, dad worked for NASA, you know, that was what Huntsville is all about, you know, for what we've known it to be.
For sure.
And so the path that, you know, they didn't see a path for me in music, and neither did I. All I knew that I was having fun. It was great. And it was only until I got out in that space, it's like, you know what, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to go ahead and just jump off the gangplank and see what happens. And I think the only job that I've ever had in Huntsville was working at a music store. And that was A.B. Stevens.
Okay. So you made that job. So I guess was being out west and being out with those people and helping produce, was that kind of your first taste? Like, you could do this for a living and this is something that you could actually make a career out of.
It was still fun. And like, it was an extension of playing with toys like I was back at home. It wasn't until I got my first check for writing and producing. As I was maybe 18 or 19, when I saw that, I said, okay, yeah, this is a career.
This is a career. Okay. So you go from kind of doing this while you're supposed to be in college, you know, traveling out west, doing all this, you get that first check. How did you go from that first check to then now it's the kind of the accolades that you now have? I mean, it's one thing to get that first check, but it's now like you've made this career and you've been doing this for a very long time. Like, how did those first next couple of years look like? And, you know, as Huntsville's continuing to grow too with you.
Yeah. Well, I can say this, you know, I was fortunate enough to be around some very humble and, you know, very grounded and rooted people in the industry. You know, Raphael Sadiq, you know, he's one of those people, like if you think this was 96 when I was getting into the game.
Okay.
And it's 2004. He's still relevant doing music that is affecting culture. And so he always had a philosophy. He says, you know, just growing and doing it slow is the way. You don't want to ever just try to hit the top and be there too fast. You just want to take that trajectory as slow as you possibly can. And so, but also that too, you know, he was a very big advocate of me being at home and staying at home.
Yeah.
He felt like the kid that I was when I was 17, and the talent that I had and the humility that I had was largely based on my upbringing in Huntsville. He was always, hey man, don't ever move out here. You know, I'll fly you out, you know. And to that fact, you know, to that point, he was right. You know, I was around a lot of really good people here, you know, my parents for one, you know, and you know, also too, having a daughter in this space, you know, and her being a musician, and you know, it was just kind of imperative for me to stay in the area, because I saw that Huntsville's always been a great place to raise kids and have a family and things of that nature. So that was one of the things that kept me here. I just said, as long as we got an airport, I'm gonna fly out. I'll be there.
Yeah, there you go.
But I gotta go back home.
Yeah. So I mean, as Huntsville's kind of, I mean, over the last few years, it's grown its music ecosystem a ton. I mean, we recently just had Matt Mandrella on talking about it, about the music audit, which has never really been done anywhere else. Huntsville was the first place to do this. From your perspective, what's so smart about building a music ecosystem, and why was Huntsville such a good canvas for this to be done on?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think you see a lot of people coming into Huntsville, obviously, and they're not, for at the time of this audit being done, and then prior to the audit, people were coming to Huntsville and learning about Huntsville as being a great place to raise a family, great place to for the money that you made, you know, in terms of living.
Yeah.
So that brought a lot of people to Huntsville. But I think over time you will wonder, it's like, what's going to keep these people here? What's going to keep these people here? And it's like, you know, at some point on all levels, people are going to want to have some fun. They want to have some entertainment in life. They're going to want to see the cultural things that they've seen in all the other places that they may have been coming from, you know. And Huntsville is that city, you know. There's very few people that I run into that are Huntsville natives.
Yeah,
sure. Almost everyone that I know and deal with, they haven't been here 40 years like I have. You know, there's a few staples in the city, but most people younger than me or even older than me, they haven't been in Huntsville that long. And something brought them here that wasn't music. But I think music and the arts and culture like that, I think that is what will keep people here. You know, you think about places like Nashville, they have like major sports teams and they have a thriving music, you know, ecosystem there. Why wouldn't you want to be in that space, even if you're not a musician?
Yeah.
You go to Atlanta, which is close by, you know, they got a baseball team, they got a football team, they got a basketball team, they got all these other great things in Atlanta to do outside of the music industry that's thriving there too. You know, Atlanta has changed the culture of hip hop, you know, probably more than any other city at this point. So, but Huntsville needs that. I think Huntsville needs a space of entertainment and music, and I think that it's a smart thing to do. It's a real smart thing to do.
Yeah. What's been some of your either the places, the venues, the acts that have maybe come to Huntsville over the last couple of years with the Orion and all this that have been some of the coolest experiences for you that you've maybe been able to go to and see?
Yeah, the Orion is definitely one. And you probably talked to Matt Mandrell. He's probably mentioned that the Orion, you know, being one of the best venues on the East Coast.
And they
live up to that. I mean, it's a really, really great venue. It's a very, very smart, well-built venue. I had a chance to tour it a couple times while they were building. It's a really great venue. Just in terms of the way that it's laid out and just the way the hospitality is for the artist. But just being there, having an opportunity to perform as well when they first opened, you know, at the first waltz. And just being there and then seeing the great artists there, you know. I didn't get a chance to see Snoop. I was out working, but I gave my wife some tickets. She told me, yo, this is the best concert, one of the best concerts ever. You missed it. I said, don't.
I get it. I wish I was there too, but don't rub it in.
Right, exactly. But even there, but I mean, the Civic Center's had some of my greatest concerts. Mm. I mean, I remember seeing John Mayer back when he came to the Civic Center, and I haven't heard screaming from young girls ever. I still hear that screaming. I think my hearing is jacked up.
Wow.
To this day but and that hasn't been not in the past few years. It's been a while back, but it's just been great to just kind of watch these venues grow. We got new venues that are like St. Stephen's, I think, over at Campus 805, a new venue. You know, so now we're getting the smaller venues. Tangle String is opening back up their doors. So we got these nice smaller venues, and then we have these medium-sized venues like the Mars Concert Hall, and then we got the Arena and the Orion. So we kind of got it all figured out in terms of music artists that want to come through.
Yeah, and I think having those venues at those different sizes, like you said, it's that stepping stone effect. It allows an artist to come in and see a venue like Voodoo or see a venue like even St. Stephen's Hall is not a huge space, but seeing a venue like that, being able to play there, playing open mic nights places, to then go to the Mars, to then go to all this, it's pretty incredible to see.
Yeah, and imagine seeing your favorite artist in a venue like St. Stephen's and not the Orion.
It's insane. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think those intimate venues like that really help thrive what Huntsville is trying to do with the ecosystem of music.
For sure. Yeah.
And it allows people to see it that maybe, you know, the entry point at all those different levels are all different. I mean, the entry point to get to Voodoo is just show up.
Yeah. And to think 10 years ago, it wouldn't have made sense to have these venues. But now it makes all the sense in the world. You know? When we start doing it, sometimes you don't figure things out until you just start rolling with it.
Yeah.
And it makes more sense as you do it. It's like, oh, wow. It's like, we could have done this a long time ago. But hey, we're doing it now.
Yeah.
It's working.
So. And I think as new venues are coming, it's kind of allowing all the other venues, everyone's kind of raised the bar.
Right.
Like the bar, like every time they announce someone new, I'm like, wow, we're getting that person. Like, who are they going to have next year? Like the anticipation for the Huntsville community to be a part of that is incredible.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier just that, you know, having your roots in Huntsville was a very important thing for you.
Yeah.
You've obviously been able to work with some incredibly talented individuals. What is those conversations like when you tell them that you live in Huntsville, and what do you get to tell them about Huntsville that maybe changes their mind of what they perceive it to be?
You know, I can't change their mind about Huntsville unless I bring them to Huntsville. Like I can't get them to understand, because they don't understand.
Yeah.
I think they, that, like, you know, the word travels, kind of like to what you were saying, like these artists that come to the Orion or to come to these small venues, they go then and tell everyone, yo, we played in Huntsville. It was amazing. And so for me as an artist and a creative, you know, I think the world kind of travels out in the industry. Like, you know, have you heard of this guy Wu-Tang? You know, he primarily works at home in Huntsville. It's like, so to really get him, you gotta either come to Huntsville or, you know, he's going to be connected some way. Like, you're going to get the best of him when he's there. And so I think that there for me, trying to get them to understand, the best way is to bring them. Mm. Is to get them to come in, you know. Over the past, I would say, 3 or 4 years, since the Orion has been in, I can remember, I've had like a few artists of name, yeah, come to Huntsville. You know, J. Cole has been one.
Wow.
Rhapsody, she's been through, shucks, man, just a ton of artists. You know, yeah. Anthony Hamilton's been by, I don't know how many times, you know. And they have a different sense of Huntsville and why I'm still here when they come. You know, it's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I get how it's a part of your quote unquote secret sauce. You know, it is what makes you as a, you know. And I think the things that influence us and makes us is what makes our art be what it is.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, my art probably would come out a lot differently if I lived in New York or, and I'm not going to say that it would be bad or good, but I'm comfortable with how I express myself from Huntsville.
Yeah. And so when these artists that you use, like J. Cole comes and you're able to work with them here in Huntsville, if you were to take this artist out and this artist is here for a few days, what would be the experiences or the things that you love most about Huntsville that you'd want to make sure you show them while they're here?
See, that's the thing I love about it. I love grabbing those same artists and say, like, let's, if we're going to work for 5 days, let's at least one of those days just take a drive with me. Because I know every nook and cranny, I promise you, from past Ditto Landing all the way up to Athens,
yeah,
every part of Madison County, like I know every road, and I show them all the things there is, you know. And I think a lot of times the stories of something is different when you get a chance to see it. So sometimes when artists get in town, I may hit Ryan Murphy up. I say, yo, can I get into Ryan real quick? I just want to show some artists the venue. And they look and say, yo, y'all got this in Huntsville?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, we do. And I may hit a mic over up at the BBC. It's like, yo, can I get in Mars? Is the doors open real quick? And they just see, it's like, yo, y'all got some really dope venues. Like, and I'm like, yeah, it's but outside of the venues, I can take them on Barrett on the mountain.
Yeah.
I can take them to Montesano, just see all the things that our city has to offer. I love being a tour guide. That's one of the things I love when people come in town. It's like, let's take that day. Let's go eat at Connors. Let's go to Bridge Street. Let's go to Cotton Row. Let's go to Commerce Kitchen. Let's go downtown. Let's eat, you know, because that's one thing Huntsville has really good. You know, we got a lot of churches and we got a lot of good restaurants.
That's true. Yeah.
It is no shortage of places to eat in Huntsville, for sure. And so that's one of the things I love about it. And them leaving, they say, we get it. Like I said before, like, we get why you want to be here. And you know, and I would suggest that for any artist, you know, it's just like, that's why you should be anywhere. You know, a lot of times the art for us is what drives us. And, you know, the biggest thing for me is being comfortable in my own space. And Huntsville is just the best place to do it. Like, if you want to live in New York and that affects you, don't just live in New York because you think that's the place you need to be to commercially get your art. Mm-hmm. We live in a world, it's too easy. Some of my best work, I think I've done in my basement at home.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, we got the internet, you know. You got some good Wi-Fi. I can get there faster than me getting on a plane.
So, yeah. So I know recently you just with your company put out some new scholarships.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So I've always had the thought, me and my wife have always had the thought to at some point just be effective in education. As bad as a student as I was in college, I'm promoting and helping students, you know, with their dreams and careers with music. So I started a scholarship fund. This is a Woodworks scholarship fund. And it's for children of color that may not have the opportunities that I had and my daughter had to go to school. You know, by the time I was able to get my daughter to school, I was kind of well off to where she can get in school, not have any debt, you know, go right into a career and not have a bunch of school loans and stuff like that. So just kind of make it a little easier for those students. So I started a scholarship fund. Anyone as an individual or a corporation can contribute. But for the scholarship, I have like a 3 rounds of winners.
You know? Okay.
And it'll be every year. This first year, I've already funded myself. So there's no weight on the donors to have to please contribute, hurry up, you know. But that deadline for that scholarship, those 3 scholarships, is July 1st. And I announced the winner in August.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've obviously had an incredible career here in Huntsville. Yeah. You know, you've seen Huntsville grow. Is there one experience that you had in either with the work you do or just being out and about here in Huntsville that is an experience that you can't forget? Like it's you just keep getting drawn back to.
There are a lot that I cannot say on mic. because I have a mom and dad that might watch this podcast. Like, what? No, but probably more recently was the last year when J. Cole came. Mm-hmm. So it was crazy because it was real random. Like on a random Monday, he called me. He's like, hey, man, what are you doing? And you know when you get that call and it's really early in the morning, but you try not to sound like you're asleep.
Oh, yeah.
I'm up. Yeah, what's going on, man? Yeah, I'm totally knocked out. But I see it's on my call ID, and so I'm like, I got to take this call. And he's like, yo, I want to come to Huntsville.
Wow.
I'm like, what in the world makes this guy want to come to Huntsville? And I'm thinking, though, in all of the sessions that I've had with him in New York and in Los Angeles and even in North Carolina where he stays, it's I talk about Huntsville a lot, you know. And he knows that during, like, the process of building the Orion, I talk, you know, I was in on that and I'm on the music board. And so I talk a lot about the city.
Yeah.
And he knows how close I am to, and he's just like, you know, maybe he just thought maybe I should just go to him. So he called me that one day to kind of make the story short. He calls me. And so the next day he comes in on a Tuesday, gets in about midnight. He flies just regular commercial flight. I'm just like, man, how did you do that? He's like, you know, it was during COVID, kind of COVID. We were coming out of COVID. So he was able to wear a mask and glasses.
So no one knew who he was.
No one, you know, he's like 6'2", though. I was like, man, nobody recognized who you were. He said, nah, man, I got through. And so we worked and we did a song for an artist by the name of Summer Walker. It was the introduction to our album. That album was nominated for a Grammy last year.
Wow.
This year, I'm sorry. And yeah, he just flew out. Like, we got done that Thursday night. He said, you got any regional airports nearby? I said, you know, I live out in Athens, so Pryor Field, which is on Highway 31. He's like, yeah, Pryor Field's like maybe 10 minutes away from me. He said, bet, I'm gonna leave there at midnight. So I just drove him up to the plane midnight. And I was like,
wow.
I said, and I came back home. My wife was up still. I said, yo, this was crazy.
Yeah.
I get a call from probably to most people, like the best rapper alive. And he calls me up and just wants
to come to Huntsville.
Come hang out in my man cave. And I said, you know, an AdTran or someone had all the hotels booked up that weekend. So he had to stay out at Athens at the Fairfield Inn. So Athens, this is a shout. We got to get some good hotels. Because he stayed, it doesn't matter, man. I'll stay anywhere. Let's just make it happen. He stayed and yeah, we had a good time, you know. Made a few songs, but that was one of the songs that came out of the experience. So in recent days, that's probably been the most crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been amazing having you on today. It's learning more about your career, learning more about just the ecosystem here in Huntsville.
Yeah.
We'll have all information for your stuff that we've talked about in the episode notes. So if you're listening and you want to see and visit those links, that'll be there. Yeah. But thank you so much for being here today.
I appreciate it, Clark. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the What's So Smart podcast. Stay connected with us on all your social media platforms at A Smart Place. You can watch the full conversations on our YouTube channel at Huntsville, Alabama, USA, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed hearing more about what makes Huntsville so smart.